Pod Tiger Tip Show, episode 76 for the week of August 14th, 2006. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Pod Tactico, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Fumo Jive.
I'm JVB.
And I'm Liquilife.
Liquilife.
Liquilife is from CTAG.com. Hey, why don't you tell us a little bit about CTAG while we're here?
Well, we are a community-oriented website for those who are part of Xbox Live, where you can join, get up your own personalized blog with your own personalized template to go with your blog. And it's a place where you can come and just, you know, express yourself, whether it's your love for games or what's going on in your personal life or posting your favorite video. It doesn't matter, but, you know, it just gives you a chance to really have your own personal space where you can just let your freedom of your thoughts run wild, and also mm-hmm. check out everyone else's blogs as well. And we have a forum too, and you'll find that we're just a real quiet, small community, but we're loyal and we have a great base of people. And yeah, come check us out. The larger we get, the better, of course.
Yeah, we get a lot of people from Podtacular there too.
Oh, absolutely.
Sweet. So this is an Xbox community primarily, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it is. A matter of fact, when you sign up, it assumes that you have a gamer tag, so just keep that in mind. Yeah.
And cool. They got the best column that you'll see on the web.
It's called TFC. The Naked Truth.
Yes, the Naked Truth.
Fascinating.
Yeah, there's this guy JVB that does that. Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
He's a sexy animal.
Yeah. You have to check out the picture to
yeah,
to
good thing he's not totally naked, because then I'd be like, forget it. Forget
if
about
you
it.
TNT, you will see JVB in boxer shorts, or yes, with ducks on it.
Nah.
So if that's not a reason to visit, then this should be.
And I didn't want to tell you Liquilife, but yeah, I was on your couch modeling for that picture for about half an hour. I don't want to tell you, you know.
So you might want to wash the cushions on your couch, you know.
Is that what that little black hair was left from?
Oh, gosh. Anyway.
Before I just had a 360 covering the lip section. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that one didn't get past the editors.
Yeah, yeah.
until the three red lights came on.
Then. Yeah, really. TMI, TMI.
Too much heat.
Too much Naked Truth.
TMNT, wait. Okay, right. So this is the Podtacker Tip Show, and we're going to be covering lots of tips to help you level up and stay there. We got lots of stuff that people have sent in that are really surprisingly good tips this episode. Shouldn't say surprisingly good, but they're really good. So we'll be checking those out. We're going to be covering lots of general tips. We're also going to be covering our map of the month, which this month is going to be Beaver Creek.
Beaver.
Ugh. Hey.
We're also going to be talking a little bit about Battle Creek on Halo PC and Halo 1, so that'll be cool too. Cool. And we're going to be covering, breaking that down by the different game types, so you guys will have different tips on different ways of playing. And we, bonus, towards the end of the show, we're also going to be covering a Red versus Blue interview that we have with Matt, who plays Sarge on Red versus Blue. So stick around for that. It's going to be awesome.
See, that's messed up, because when I started TNT, they were the first guys that contacted. And they told me no, man.
They did. They said they didn't have enough time. Isn't that what they said?
Yeah. But yeah, they were doing a lot of things at that time, so.
Yeah.
Maybe you can ask him that question.
What? Like planning interviews with Podtacular?
JVB asks, why didn't you have time for the Naked Truth,
I
huh?
I didn't want to talk to
What's
you.
The deal?
No, that's great news. You know, Red versus Blue is pretty big. I even saw them in the video store the other day. I was a bit blown away by that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great for Podtacular.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that.
It's going to be good. So, starting us off, why don't you go ahead, Liquilife, start us off here.
All right.
Getting our general tips here.
Okay. So you just want me to read them off here?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
All of them. No.
Yeah. 2 hours later.
Just get the lazy boy, put your feet out.
Yep. Little less wrestling. All right, go ahead.
All right, Shamad says, of course, the most important thing in Slayer is your kills, right? Wrong. It is your kill-to-death ratio, KPD or KAPD, kills and assists per death. The higher your KAPD is, the better you are at Slayer. So, by staying alive, the most important thing to do is make it harder or harder for people to kill. A few points to help you with this. Number one, strafe around in ovals, not lines, just because the explanation is too long, way too long. Two, use your cover. Stay behind it. Every now and then, poking your head out to shoot. Number three, don't stray out. Always be within the time it takes for three BR shots to hit you, about 3 seconds away from cover. This way, it is more difficult to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Four, if the other person gets the first shot, keep shooting while trying to get cover. Number five, if your KAPD is above 1.4, you're doing A-OK.
Nice. Yep. Those are good tips, man.
Yeah, that's something Liquid Life could certainly
use. One of my common problems was that if I was getting shot at and I'm getting cover, I didn't shoot back.
Yeah, you got these guns in your hand. You might want to, you know.
if I put my back to him, maybe he'll look away. But then this never works.
You're like, do you know who I am?
Like, wait, let's be friends.
Well, actually, look, well, it is harder to kill somebody when with their back turned, but you got to look down. That's a trick.
Look down, huh?
So your head's turned over, so they're not getting headshots
so
on you.
Oh, so they're not getting the headshots. Hey,
the head shizzles.
Good
That's good, actually, when you're playing something like, what do you call it, like zombies
Team
or
Bulbath.
Like... Team Bulbath. There you go, man.
but now, let's look at that a bit more in depth. I mean, is that, like, creating a difference of, like, it takes them two extra shots to kill you, or are we talking more?
Well, I think we're more talking about games where you have no shields. Because for some reason, when your back is facing them and your head is tilted down, it's, well, first of all, it's difficult, more difficult to get headshots. And second of all, for some reason, hitting the back is less effective than hitting in the front of the body. So it'll take them, I mean, a few shots will make a big difference when there's no shields.
Okay.
You know, it'll let you get a lot farther.
I don't know how many times
so you
can... I've been able to run away just turning around and ducking my head and running. Vice versa, too. You know, I think I have a guy, he turns around, runs away. I'm like, what the heck, man?
Yeah.
That's how you got away from me.
Incredible.
All right, so Lead Spartan 117 says, tips for multiplayer Halo 2 on Xbox Live. Number one, always reload before rushing into an area. Although, this should be obvious. You'll be surprised. It's not fun to reload your gun when you're in the middle of a battle.
Yeah. Dude, that's like my worst downfall right there is reloading.
One time I had the beat on this dude, and next thing you know, my bullets run out. I'm like, no, and he kills me. I'm like, damn it. Use the button combo BXR when you have a battle rifle and are near an opponent. The B button will melee, the X will cancel, and the R will fire your weapon. This is quick for killing someone. Yeah, it's very effective if you have the timing down pat.
Right.
If in team games, use your microphone and stick together using strategy. In big team battle games, I have noticed in my experience that using mics and making strategy really helps. And
cool.
if you are ever against an opponent with the sword, I find that it helps if you don't have any nades or rockets. What?
I think he's saying what I find that helps is to...
is to run backwards and go side to side while firing at them. It can make the targeting rectical hard to get on you when you have...
He said rectical.
Thank you.
Oh, man. I'm such a genius, dude.
I know, reticle. The rectical hard.
I can't help the toilet humor sometimes, man. You guys will have to forgive me.
Oh, man. Targeting reticle hard to get on when you do that. And the side-by-side may make the person miss their attack. One thing I learned, and I thank Podtacular Tips for this one, is strafing to your right when dodging the sword.
Hmm.
For some reason... it works.
Yeah, because they swing right by them.
Yeah, I tell people that all the time, and they don't believe me, so.
Hmm. Okay, well, Mixer X says the BXR is pretty commonly known on how to be done. This can be a little tough, though. The key to executing the BXR is to lunge while you're still a tiny bit away, not touching the person. If you're too close, the X cancels the melee, not speed up the time to where you can shoot. Okay, that's poor grammar,
yeah,
but we get the point.
It's great, but definitely need to have the correct distance to do so.
Yeah, for real. Hey, by the way, on the BXR, if you hold down R, someone told me this a while back, Nano from Gamertag Radio, I hope he doesn't mind me mentioning it.
Nano!
He used to be on Gamertag Radio. He was saying that if you hold the R trigger and then you go up to someone and then do BX, right after you hit X, it's going to do the fire. So as long as you keep it trained on their head, as soon as you hit the X, it'll fire right after that. So if you hold the R trigger down after you fire and then just go up to someone and do BX, it'll pull the R right away. So
nice. I got to try that one.
Yeah. He actually told me that a while back, and he was like, don't tell anyone because, you know, the MLGs are kind of keeping it hush-hush.
Yeah.
Because they can run around with a right trigger held down and use that. So, but it's been a while, so hopefully he's cool with that.
Yeah. No wonder. Wow. All right. That's pretty good. Thank you, Nano.
All right. Doomed Navy SEAL says, this tip is simple and proven effective. Furt, I'm sure he means first. If you know that... first, flirt.
Furt.
First. If you know that you're about to die, throw a grenade at the wall and run past it through the doorway. That will lower your trailing opponent's shield a lot. Then finish the enemy by dashing back into the room right after the explosion happens and melee the dude twice. This is the last attempt tactic that should only be used if you're about to die. And it was submitted by Doom Navy SEAL.
Nice. Yeah, I do that all the time, especially with a plasma one. I know I'm gonna die. I just throw one by my foot. And, you know, if I have like a weapon that I know they're gonna want, I just throw it down and then, you know, bada boom, bada bing, he's dead. Or, you know, it weakens his shield and somebody else gets him. NORAD 7, he tells us, in my own opinion, the most effective way to play any SWAT game is to slide your targeter across the screen when killing people in SWAT. Primary because only one bullet out of the three is required to kill your opponent. This increases accuracy and allows you to get multiple kills with a single burst if your enemies are stupid enough to be bunched up. I suggest you try it and see if it works for you. Also try using two pistols. It works well for some people because you can fire a lot faster, but in my opinion, it's only good for a small map and SWAT. Note, if you have high sensitivity, be careful not to overdo the swipe. It only fires three rounds, not a beam of death.
Right.
To me, it sounds like you're using the auto aim, and if you got to use auto aim and SWAT, then...
I don't know. I think he's talking more about just like doing kind of a swipe snipe with the BR, in that, you know, sometimes bullets will actually... A single bullet, if you do kind of a swipe snipe with it on a SWAT game, the bullet will actually kind of be more of a line than a single point, because the way the aiming works, kind of like how swipe sniping, you can snipe by shooting to the left of someone's head and then swinging it to the right. Yeah. You know, you can do the same thing with swipe sniping on a BR on SWAT, because it's one shot, one kill if you hit him in the head. So if there's multiple ones right in a line, you can actually kill more than one and have like a wider range to where, you know,
exactly. Or yeah, just, as he mentions, increases your odds of actually having one of those bullets, you know, hit him in the head if he, you know, moves slightly to the left or right, even, you know. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
See, I don't need that. I don't need any of that.
Yeah.
One thing I'm good at is one. Just a real quick story.
Yeah.
Back
go for
in
it.
The day, within the first few months of Halo 2 coming out, I created a custom game called Rainbow Six 2025. And it was pretty much SWAT. So I had made this custom game, and everybody's like, what is, you know, Rainbow 2025? I said, well, it's no shields, so one shot kills. They hated it. And, you know, of course, I had like 72 kills, and, you know, these guys are like, ah, this sucks. And, you know, eventually it's one of the more popular games now. Not that I created it or anything, but, you know, it's just, you know, one of those game types that, you know, you don't have to deal with a noob and, a, you know, holding rockets all day or whatever.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot more leveled out.
Well, you know, and I remember playing that on a on matchmaking for the first time, and I'd never set up a custom game or played one like that, but I ran into it on, as I said, matchmaking, and I instantly fell in love with the game. I mean, it was just the best thing ever. Just, you know, it was the headshots having a lot of meaning all over again, you know.
And you'd be surprised how many people can't actually get a headshot. There was one time I the guy had me, and he's shooting at me, and I'm just strafing back and forth, and I finally loaded, and I just shot him once, and I'm like, oh, boy. Another one time, me and Shardy were playing, right? You know, he had control of the room, so we're playing, and I'm here thinking we're playing Team Slayer. I'm getting shot, and I'm dying, like, real fast, and I'm like, cursing. I'm like, I can't believe these guys, they're freaking modding on team training. What a bunch of losers. And I'm like, you know, going off on the other guys, and Shardy goes, Jay, we're playing SWAT. And I'm like, oh. So I run to the other guy, and I'm like, hey, guys, I'm sorry for calling you guys modders. They were like, we were wondering what the hell you were talking about. I'm like, man, I'm sorry.
And that's how JVB and I met.
All right, so let's go to Madcats.
Okay. Let's see. Madcats327 says, hi, this is Madcats327. And I just wanted to say, to send you guys a couple of my best tips for Elo 2. First of all, stickies are your friends. I know this may be a little too obvious, but anyway, just make sure you have at least one at all times so that when you get in close and personal battle, okay, or if you get surprised, you will have the ability to stick your opponent and watch him die after you're dead. This also keeps the score close. Real quick about that is that, like, a good thing on stickies is to use a combination of the melee and sticky together. Because you know how the melee lunges kind of like halfway, well, maybe like a third of the way of the sword does? Mm-hmm. Or maybe less even. Maybe a quarter. Yeah. But anyway, you lunge with the melee, right? If you lunge and then as soon as you strike him, hit the L button, you can just throw a sticky right at him and you're right next to him so you can't miss. So... yeah. That's a good thing to keep in mind. I keep trying to remember that, but that's like one of those instant things you have to remember. And it's like, yeah, I'm still getting into the habit. So
it's like BXR, you know, you're like, I know how to do it, but I forget I can do it.
Exactly. Or BXB, the same difference, you know? So I'm trying to remember to do that. But yeah, that's one thing, you know, either BL or BXL is one thing to keep in mind, to be able to throw the sticky grenades and be able to stick people without having to worry about them strafing out of the way.
Yeah, the cool life must be like, BXL?
I BXRLQ all the time.
Q, man, that's a good button. It's powerful.
And I had a BLT for dinner, too.
Nice. Without the mayo.
Oh, man. Dude, when I run into trouble in Halo 2, I just do a quarter pounder with cheese. I'm in good shape.
Yeah. And the Master Chef just brings it right out to you.
Hey, children.
Oh, the Master Chef.
Halt all. Shitty walk.
Siri walk.
Anyway, moving on.
All right. So, moving on here to Reaping Raven. Reaping Raven says, in general, memorize the spawns. And he's emphasizing this here. This is so important, for example. On Lookout, if your team is at Sniper Tower, and the other team will only spawn in bottom of Blue Library and rarely bottom of the BR Tower, if you know where to expect the enemies, you can be prepared for an attack. This works for many other maps. Also, in Team Snipers, if you spawn on Hogside on Relic, have one team may stand behind the teleporter. I found that 90% of the time, the other team opens it. This makes it for an easy assassination kill.
Nice. Yeah, that's true, man. If, like, if you're on defense and somebody opens the teleporter and then, like, keeps teleporting through, you can, like, waste them, man. I always end up in that problem on offense, like, going through and then, like, oh, crap! They're, like, all over the place.
You sound like the band, the Grunt.
Ah, let me out of here. Ooh. Oh, nobody's here. Oh.
All right. G.I. Jake, 92.
Okay, go ahead.
If you're in a warthog and you press the A button, it will stop all four wheels, not just the back two if you're pulling the handbrake. This can be very helpful trying to pick up the flag or bomb in neutral CTF or assault game. Keep on fragging trucks. Go wreck E. Huh. G.I. Jake 92.
So he's just saying basically if you hit the A button, you're stopping the truck quicker?
Yeah, I think it's B that does the power slide, right?
Yeah, sorry, that, yeah.
Okay. Well,
no, left trigger does the power slide.
Is it? Wow, man. I don't drive Warthog very often, as you can tell.
Well, like Halo?
Well, no. Mine's 2 miles an hour, so.
Dude, I'm always like fiddling around trying to find the horn and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, me too.
Because seriously, I just don't. I'd rather take the ghost or something like that, you know.
And yeah, I usually just use like a building for the brakes. Usually, I can't remember the last time I applied the brakes on the Warthog.
Use a building.
I just use a building.
Do you use that in real life too?
the cliff or the curb or yeah, exactly. When I pull into work, I'm literally pulling into work.
Man, your insurance company, your insurance company hates you, I bet, man.
Damn. Yeah, them Seattle lights. Oh, you no, mean, he's from Spokane.
I'm a Spokane knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overshadowed by the Seattle lights.
Pull into the tire company, you're like, I need new tires. They're like, this is the third time this week, man. What the heck? Well, you know, maybe I skid the stop. That's the way I do it.
Exactly. Maybe I should be driving a Warthog then. That would be more helpful for getting
Yeah, you get a turret on to bonus, man. Nice.
Oh, I know, and with this tip here, I'll just press A when I get to work.
There you go. Just carry a controller with you. You're in good shape, man. How to drive from Bob
Dyker. Applications for everyday living.
Liquid lifestyle.
Okay, well, okay. Anton Ton Red Baron, who says, for all of you Warthog junkies out there, okay, speaking of Warthogs, I noticed this when playing campaign. Well, we all know that the Warthog can kind of sort of drift if timed and handbrake just right. You can slide the hog doing a 180-degree spin and go in reverse with reasonable speed. This also allows your passenger with whatever weapon he probably has, preferably the rockets, to come into firing range and is now able to lock on and blow the other hog or ghost away. When I party with my friends, I am the designated driver. I don't drink. So I guess he's saying, like, you can pull a power slide if someone's falling behind you and just, like, use the rockets to, like, blow them away. It's pretty nice, actually. That's a good tip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it'd be turning your Warthog broadside to the oncoming vehicle.
Yeah, well, it's just usually you're trying to kind of run away from them and kind of do a 90-degree turn and get around cover
so that you can
swing around behind him or something like that. But in this case, he's talking about pulling a full 180 with a power slide and then just firing right back at him. But then again, you know, it depends on if you got to time that right, because if you're not doing that at the right time, they're going to be firing at you the whole time already. You're already getting your shields down a bit and your power down a bit on the hog. So by the time you get around and start shooting at them, you're already behind the curve. They've already got a lot of shots off on you. So you got to be able to get over a hill or something like that already so that you can use that time to do a power slide. And as soon as they come over a hill, you're firing at them first and they're surprised.
Yeah, I was thinking first thing I thought of was coagulation. And just kind of getting over a hump there, and then turning around, and last thing they would expect is to see you coming towards them.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Dope Dizzle.
Mythic Elite says, "I have a very useful tip for Halo CE. This tip isn't really meant for people. Excuse me. Let me try this again.
It's not meant for people.
No, it's meant for other things, which we'll discuss later. This tip isn't really meant for single player, but it can help. If you play on multiplayer on Halo PC, you probably know about the agony of lag, and this tip is extremely useful for when there is lag. Most of you who play Halo PC know how badly it can screw up your shots. Well, I found something out that can help you determine whether you hit the person or not. The first sign is that the other person's shields get all crackly. That means you hit them and they are about to recharge. If you didn't hit them, you won't see crackly. Their shields glow and get crackly. Yes, crackly. Note, this is a reference to the lines that show up when you get hit. Now, no. if you're playing Halo PC with a graphics card that can't completely run Halo PC, all you will see is a yellow layer surrounding that person. Huh. Another way you can tell is if you hit the other guy is by turning up your speakers to a decent amount loud enough so you can hear above anything else. When you go in a game and experience some lag, find an enemy and shoot him with the pistol. Now, if the shot made contact with that person, you will hear a beep sound coming out of your speakers.
Dude, get an Xbox, man. You don't have to deal with, like, yellow shields and beep sounds and crap.
Clackly pop.
Yeah, I'm sure it gets better here. If you don't, then shoot again, and there will be a brief beep sound. Wait, if you don't and you shoot again, then there will be a brief beep sound. Okay. This is extremely helpful for when you shoot someone but don't know if the shot connected. I don't know how much it might help you, but this helps me a lot since I like to take cover and not storm out. And to me, it's important to know whether I hit the guy or not, or whether I hit the guy or missed.
Okay.
That's a helpful tip for those people who are still playing Halo on the PC, which I'm sure there's not a lot, but I'm sure there's still a devoted fan base to that game.
If you guys are playing Halo PC on a 486, then there you go.
Okay.
All right. We'll go to Mr. Hazard. He says, hey, Podtacular. Hey. I have a great tip for you guys. If you're losing a game only by a little and you can't catch up, you should try and camp in just one room and let the other team come to you. That way, you can get them with grenades a lot easier. In Lockout, you can camp in the teleporter room, or in Gemini, you should try camping up near both teleporters in the tree and catch the other team in the back and assassinate them from behind, or catch them in the head with your battle rifle from in the tree. Great podcast, guys.
Hmm.
Yeah, but the thing about camping while you're losing is that time's running out, so
right.
Why would you want to do that?
Just make sure you have sufficient time, huh?
I can't imagine why you would possibly camp when you're losing. Generally, when you're winning, it is a good idea to camp, and I think anyone would agree that even though some might call it cheap, it really is a good strategy to camp and let them come to you when you're in a good position.
Yes, exactly.
So, dude, one time, I don't know if I told you guys this before, one time I was in this, what do you call it, team training game, and it was a Team Slayer game, and this dude, everybody quit on this guy on the other team, and it must have been four or five of us against this one guy, and we were ahead, and this guy camps on Sanctuary over by the shotgun spawn under the cave on one of the bases, and he's over there, and he killed one guy, two guys, three guys. Next thing you know, he's almost tied for the lead. Four guys, five guys, tied the lead. Six guys gain the lead. And we're like, holy crap. And this guy actually won the game. And he must have been four or five kills behind before his team quit. It was unbelievable, man.
Nice.
That just shows you the power of, like, when you're, you know, sometimes camping. In that case, he was, like, in an extremely behind. And people just got overconfident. And they just rushed in there by themselves before their teammates were there. And they got wasted, you know, so... Be careful in that case, too.
You know, that's the... You gotta... Like, I hate when we're winning and they just get cocky and they're, like, running all over the place by themselves. And you're like, guys, we're winning. Chill out. They're like, whatever.
Oh, and, man.
You know, next thing you know, they make it close.
Yep. Yeah, I've lost games like that, dude. It's frustrating. All right, who's up next?
You are my brother.
Okay. Where am I? I'm like trying to catch up here. Am I on Sap Andrew?
Blah.
Okay.
Sap Andrew?
Yeah, Sap Andrew.
Okay.
Hey guys, this is a little tip for stealing Warthogs and Spectres. All you have to do is, right before you're going to board a full car, throw a grenade, and then quickly board. Once you throw out the pilot, the grenade will explode and kill everyone except for you. This tip works for campaign and multiplayer. P.S. You have to have host to do this in multiplayer. Yeah, I've heard of that before. Do kind of an LX right before you board. And it'll blow everybody out, and while you're boarding, it'll kill everyone else, and then as soon as they're dead, you'll be right in the vehicle, and you can take off.
Hmm. Nice.
So it's like a moment of invincibility the game gives you while performing an action?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Just gotta get the timing right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next thing you know, Liquid Life's gonna become like an Uber Halo 2 player.
I'm gonna win because I like boarded the Warthog 15 times and.
How do you do that?
Pontacular.
That's right. Ask Bodacular. Alright, moving on here. Deuce says, hi, Foo and the guest hosts. I'm new, and I have a tip for my favorite game types, which Bungie sadly took off their Ranked Rumble Pit playlist. Rumble King and Crazy King. In these games, the hills have uncontested hill-off, so you always get time when you are on the hill. I found that if you jump into the hill, kneel and look down, that people don't notice you as easily, and you gain time with more ease. This is most effective on Rumble King rather than Crazy King, and if you're a dark color. And I can say it really does work. I've actually played, you know, the King of the Hill type games, and there's, you know, certain hills where you can just duck down right by a little stone ledge, and there's six people in there, and they'll all leave you alone, you know, and they'll just be running in circles with each other, and it really does work. It's worked for me before.
Run to the hills.
Yeah, it's funny how King of the Hill works because, I mean, especially if you're in a smaller map, generally, if you put your back to something, you know, something solid, and you duck down, then, you know, that's just, and don't move an inch. That's just the best tactic right there, because people may have more difficulty noticing you, and they can't come up behind you and assassinate you as easily. So, dude, that works on Fight Club, that works on Low Hill on Beaver Creek, works on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, Low Hill's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
All right, so Spartan133, I have found a way to stop the ability to use the teleporters in a multiplayer game. First, you need one vehicle, preferably your enemies, and you take it to the side that doesn't let you return, and you drive it in there, and you park it in it. Well, anyway, and now the teleporter is disabled until it is moved or destroyed. Now, this is excellent because you have three advantages. One, it would disable the ability to move across the map fast. Second, if they try to move the vehicles, you or a member of your clan can snipe them out and get kills. And finally, they have one less vehicle.
Nice.
Yeah, it's definitely a big advantage.
Depending on the map, right? Correctly. And depending on how frequently they're using the teleporters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, some people, you know, like coagulation, that comes in handy to a point because they're going to also come from the top or, you know, front and back, so.
I guess it depends. You know, I think a lot more in objective games that comes into play because getting across the map actually makes a big difference in objective games, but on Team Slayer, not so much. It's really you can kill someone from any point of the map. You know, so depending on how much of an advantage that point of the map is. Anyway, okay, on to CPT Church, who says, hey guys, this is a tip that will work a lot with SMGs, dual wield SMGs, and other automatic guns. I don't know if anyone has sent this tip in, but when you have an automatic gun like SMG, you should keep running and or jumping around them, but keep getting closer and closer, and of course, when you're doing all of this, shoot and or throw grenades at them, and when you get close enough, hit them. And when you hit them, their shields will probably go down or gone, so the hit will be able to kill them. Keep up the good work, guys, and nice job beating Bungie. Yeah, so I use the jump a lot. In some cases, like when you're at a distance and someone's sniping you, it usually doesn't work very well. But when you're in close, a lot of times going vertical makes a big difference in being able to avoid someone because they can't track up as quickly as they can track sideways. So for some reason, the way the movement works on the stick, it just doesn't track up as well. So a lot of times when I'm in close, I'll melee and then jump up backwards and then back away from them that way. I don't notice a lot of other people doing that, but I do it, and in a lot of cases it works because they're trying to track up and they just can't track up fast enough and they miss a couple hits. and I'm able to jump back away and then fire at their head enough to kill them, so works for me.
Cool.
Nice. I'll have to remember that tip.
Ah. Yeah, we'll see.
The UI Halo. Alright.
At dawn.
S Detective says, the nice thing about the carbine is that not a lot of people will pick it up, which means that it is more available than a battle rifle. With the carbine, you can kill really fast, and the way you do it is by getting the shots out on the person as quick as possible. A technique that has really helped me with this weapon is that you don't have to hammer the trigger all the way down in order for the rounds to fire. If you find out just how far down you have to pull the trigger in order for a round to fire, you can keep the trigger almost pulled down that far and twitch your trigger finger to get the shots out fast. Don't forget about this great weapon. Mm. And I'm glad I've read this because this is actually a tip that I've already employed, believe it or not. And it does work very well. The carbine is easily one of my favorite weapons just because of that. I've gotten shots out of it a heck of a lot more quick than I could out of the battle rifle. And it sounds cooler, too. But,
you know. Yeah, that's also another tip that Salmonator had told me one time. And he told me not to tell anybody, but he winds up telling people anyway. So I'm going to say it, damn it. One day he tells me, he goes, JVB, with the plasma rifle, hit R and X at the same time and keep firing. So what it did was it allowed me to keep firing at a rapid pace without reloading. So it was a constant stream of plasma rays.
So, really?
Yeah, it just kept shooting and shooting and shooting. It would reload on its own.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, so, man, that's good news right there.
One time we were, I was playing with a bunch of random people and we were losing in a Team Slayer. So I was like, you know what, I gotta do it. So I did it against three dudes that were in front of me and I'm like, bah, 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 bah. And I killed two of them and my teammate killed the third guy. We caught up. We still lost, but I was like, damn, I almost felt bad using it.
but see, is that modding? Is that glitching or is that just?
It's glitching. Gameplay. You know, okay. It's taking advantage of the system.
I know. I mean, Bungie says it's Bungie says it's glitching, but it's just a question of how you approach it because I don't know. It's hard to say whether or not Bungie could ban you for that. It's up to them, but. Yeah. You know, it's your call on how you handle that in matchmaking. Generally, custom games, people are generally cool with it, but, your call.
Yeah, okay. Black Templar 3, he says, hey, Podtacular, I just started listening to you guys, and I feel I should share this with you. In any game, especially on Coag or Containment, don't go straight to the power weapons. Example, the sniper or rocket launcher or boot shot. Your opponents rely on these weapons too much and in the end become a crutch. When they run out of ammo for these weapons, their power is gone, and because of this, you should do the following. In your group, always have one or two people to camp near the ammo respawns for the power weapons, because it guarantees that your enemies will always run there as soon as they're out. Makes a lot of sense. It's an easy way to keep your team informed on what you're up against, since you know they have which power weapons, and if they do, and they are out of ammo. Sorry about that. Also, this is a good tactic for Coag or burial grounds. This is called the Dukes of Hazzard tactic. If your team has to plant a bomb and have one person go into the Warthog and just drive straight into the enemy, and then drive away. At this point, it is imperative to yell like a drunken southerner and honk the horn. It infuriates the team to no end, and they go out of their way to waste their manpower and ammo on you. If you're playing a bunch of dumb guys.
Yeah, really.
Smart guys would just sit there and be like, whatever.
Depends on what level you are.
Yeah.
Guys, they'll say, oh man, they got both sniper rifles. And I'm like, okay. Does he have the bomb? No. I'm like, all right then, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, really.
the bomb with a sniper rifle. So.
Yeah. Doesn't mean they have two snipers. It just means they have two sniper rifles. You know? Because if I get the sniper rifle, that doesn't mean much, so.
Yeah. No, but, you know, I mean, some people, they'll go out of their way just to try to get the sniper on certain game types when it really, you know.
Yeah, in objective games, yeah, it's like, that's not the point.
Yeah, go ahead. Labbing?
No, I'm just saying in objective games, you know, that's not the ultimate point.
Exactly. So,
listen to me.
Well, real quick, I'm going to say two of them, then we'll skip to the map of the month. So, starting with Wrist Pueblo. Well, move ahead to map of the month. Wrist Pueblo puts one in saying that if you don't play on a 9-inch TV like me, and like me too, I play a 13-inch TV, I think, then you might want to switch to widescreen in the Xbox dashboard. This makes the BR reticle larger and easier to aim with. That's cool. I didn't know that, man. Yeah, I play on a, like, teeny TV. Dude, the way I look at it, man, as long as I'm close enough to the TV and I can see it, then it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference, you know?
Yeah, I play on a 20-inch LCD monitor.
Yeah.
And I use the VGA cable. Nice. And sometimes if I use widescreen, it's more oval than anything, the reticle. I mean, reticle.
There you go again, man.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got reticle of the brain.
Nice. Well, let's see. Real quick, S Saber 45 says, the claw is another way to hold your controller. The claw. Nothing can stop
I've heard
claw.
Of this, and I'm I've heard of this, and I'm glad that somebody's actually explaining it to me, because I know one of the guys from Team Final Boss is the one who came up with this technique.
Dude, just like reading this hurts my fingers. Okay, but let me explain this to you guys.
I actually have a 360 controller right here, so I'm going to try this as you're reading it.
Okay. Usage of the claw configuration can have a very large advantage over non-clawers, as it enables you...
I'm a non-clawer.
Are you a clawer or a non-clawer?
I cut my fingernails. Does that make sense?
Imagine you go up to a girl and you're like, hey, baby, are you a clawer or a non-clawer?
You dig the claw. All
right.
As it enables you to turn, jump, melee, change weapons, and reload while aiming. The claw goes as follows. Number one, left index on left trigger finger. And following, left thumb on left thumbstick, middle finger on right trigger, right index finger over the four buttons, and the right thumb on the right thumbstick. Okay, that just hurts, like, the spot between my middle finger and my first finger.
Wow.
Just thinking about that, man. Because, like, you got to swing your first finger way around.
It's fairly comfortable, really. I mean, considering that you don't use the buttons except intermittently, you know, just a quick tap here and there.
To do some of the button combos is, I mean, you know, this is weird because.
But see, you can actually perform different button combos just where you place your finger. I'm doing it right now.
Assuming that he used this technique on the Duke because the black and the red are up top by the X and Y buttons, whereas in the S controller, they were in the bottom. Hmm. So, for those with the S controller, it's hard to put your right index finger in the bottom. Like, you know, I'm using a 360 controller, wireless, of course. And, you know, it's like goes against everything I was programmed to do as far as playing Halo. Wow, this is weird. And I'm 6'2", and I got big hands, so my index finger is, like, bent all the way.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. I've tried that before, and it's like, oh my gosh, that just hurts just to do that for like a few seconds. You know, I can't imagine doing that like all that time. I don't care how much it helps my Halo game. I'm not going to freaking get carpal tunnel playing Halo, you know?
Yeah. That could exactly happen, too. Although it's doable, and I could see myself getting used to it, but I could see myself getting hand cramps after.
I'm
going to
walk around with, like, a 90-degree index finger, like, going sideways.
They're like, dude, you played football? No, man. Halo 2. I used the claw.
I dislocated my finger with the claw.
You purposely, like, break your fingers, your index finger, you break the bones, just so it could permanently stay that way.
Whatever works, man. Whatever works. Gotta stay competitive.
dude, I can open a can of beer real quick.
Claw style. How do you do that? Put your left index finger over the left trigger of the bottle.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah, well, damn, G. Lewis.
And that's funny. And I know that was your last tip, but I just want to say something that's funny. We got one before G. Lewis. So, G. Lewis, looks like you're out of luck this week. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, G. Lewis.
Got to move on, man. We got limited time. Got to get to the RVB interview.
Exactly.
Who's up for Map of the Month?
I'll do the first one. My boy Brent Gamer. He says Beaver Creek is where it all goes down, dogs. Here are some tips to keep you one step ahead of the competition. Number one, the base on Beaver Creek aren't equipped with kitchens, so plan on bringing peanut butter sandwiches for you and your team. What happened to the jelly, man? What happened to the jelly?
Yeah, dude. I can't just eat peanut butter without jelly. What?
Dude, I mean, because what's going to happen is their mouths are going to dry, and they're going to go running out into the middle of the stream.
Beaver like, Creek. I need some jelly. Bam!
Yeah.
Bam!
They're going to be like drinking the water out of this.
Yeah, exactly. So think of all the kill-taculars. Anyway, number two, the fastest way across the creek is by motorboat. So make sure you bring plenty of gas for the boat and a few fishing rods, just in case you get hungry along the way.
That's a peanut butter sandwiches.
Crunchy.
Number three, if you choose to take teleporters, go to the other base, make sure you say, "Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty," before you jump through.
Damn it, Jim!
Damn it, Jim. I'm just a mechanic. So dramatic. Remember how Captain Kirk used to, like, Spock? Anyway.
Yeah.
Putting up posters of Cortana and Miranda Keys naked will raise your team morale. Cortana, your encryptions are showing.
Oh, man.
Brent Gamer, you have actually said this several times. I remember you said one where you had a dream of Cortana and Miranda Keys doing some things. Anyway.
Are you talking to me? Or?
No, Brent Gamer.
Oh, okay. I was like, how'd you know that?
He was like, Hand Joe. Tighten up the tunnel, buddy.
Moving on.
When you reach the front of your enemy's base, yell out, "Bow, bow, wow," to attract hot young ladies in your position. To your position. This doesn't really serve any strategic value, but at least you'll have hot ladies to hold on to as you butt rush the base.
That's one of the best tips for that map.
Yeah, thanks for the tip, Brent Gamer. Nice. And,
but I would make one change. I would make peanut butter only sandwiches for the enemy.
Exactly. See,
and not your team.
And plus, you can use them as sticky grenades too.
Yeah, you can. So that's all. That's all they do. Plasmas, though, stick, though.
You throw peanut butter. Plasma.
Yeah, they don't blow up. They just stick.
Yeah,
they just stick and weigh them down. So they run
throw
slower.
It on the visor. It's like,
you see like a giant like person full of like half peanut butter and jelly sandwiches coming around a corner, and you're like, what?
I can't see. Can't see.
Dude, I tried that Bow Chicka Bow Wow. It doesn't work, man. Nah. What's up? You're going to be hearing from my lawyer.
I actually tried that in real life, and I got smacked.
Did you really?
I was like, Bow Chicka Bow Wow. Sorry,
honey. Oh, that's not good. That's not good.
Tried it on my wife, and she was like, what are you doing?
and your wife slapped you?
Yeah.
Wow. You know it doesn't work when your wife slaps you even.
But see, the thing is you weren't in Beaver Creek.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Qualifier there.
This is pertaining to a Halo map, not at home with your wife. People.
Well, I mean, my bedroom's called Beaver Creek.
So. Well, dude, you got to put on the armor, carry the guns, the whole deal, man. Don't go in there.
Yeah,
you know.
I got lazy, so I just put on the visor and. You know.
Oh, but he's already plugged it up with peanut butter, though.
Oh, man. Oh, wow.
Skippy.
I'm a better Halo player now.
Yeah.
Well, on to Team Slayer and FFA Slayer.
Okay.
You're up, Liquid Life.
All right. Mythic Elite says, so I got some tips for Beaver Creek. This map is small, so the games normally play on it are no-chill shotguns and rockets. Rockets is crazy on this map, and I suggest you try it. But anyways, I got some tips here, and I'll list them off.
Number one, tips for you.
This is already assuming you've left the peanut butter at home, by the way. Number one, don't go running through the middle of the map and think you won't die. There will always be one, if not two, people guarding the front of the base, and as soon as you come in range, you will get hit with bullets and possibly a grenade. So charging in a direct line from the front of your base to the front of the other base isn't so smart. Yeah, I'm guilty of that, too.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yes, a lot. Yeah, a few times. Yeah, a few hundred times. It's water. Run to the water. Number two, use the sides of the map. Sticking to the sides greatly increases your chance of survival, since you know where to expect enemy fire to come from. The sniper lofts on either side of the map are useful. The one that leads to the rocket spawn is more deadly, since there is more cover and that area is darker, allowing you to blend in if you are on the blue team.
Number three.
There's
not many places
to hide in that map. I think I've tried everywhere, and it's hard. Yeah. Number three, use the teleporters. They can save your life, and they can help you. And they can help you get the jump on the flag carrier. Use with caution, though. I've walked through too many teleporters only to get fragged by some noob who thinks he's good because he guarded the teleporter. Silly, yes, but putting someone to guard the teleporter can land you those extra kills, and jumping between both teleporter can help you gain time on games like Oddball.
I was playing SWAT, right, and on the other team there was like, you know, these young kids, and I'm standing above the teleporter, and one kid jumps out. He's like, "So, do you want to play some double team?" And I'm like, "Yeah!" Bah! And I shot him right in the head, and his partner goes, "Where did he go?" I'm like, "I don't know. I killed him." And he looks up, and I shoot him right in the head.
I'm like, "Ah!" Want some peanut butter?
I want some peanut butter with that.
Oh, all right. Moving along. Number three. Use the teleporters. They can save your life.
You already used that, dude.
Sure did, didn't I?
Yeah.
Moving
on.
Oh,
busted.
Bam! Number four.
Bow chicka bow wow. Number four. Use grenades on this map. They are effective. Plasma grenades generally are useful, but they give themselves with that blue glow. Unless your enemy is a complete dumbass and is attracted to the blue glow of the grenade, then the only reason to use them is to stick people. Fragmentation grenades work the best here. Throwing a random grenade to the other side of the map can get you a triple kill, so use them a lot.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Games like,
use the fragmentation grenade, please.
Fragmentation grenade devices. In games like The King and Audible, throw nades, not fragmentation grenades, but nades at the hill, or use the skull spawn point to soften the area before you grab the skull, or take possession of the hill.
I'm going to fragmentate you.
Yeah, and then I'm going to nade you afterwards.
That's a good call to throw them across the map, though. I didn't actually think of that. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you never know.
The old Rainbow Six days, too.
Oh, awesome, dude.
Yeah.
That was the best.
Yeah. Number five, try and force close combat situations. If the other person can kill you from across the map on Beaver Creek, something is wrong. Don't try to go long or medium range on this map, since you won't get any kills unless you can no-scope like hell. Forcing close range combat makes a difference, since a battle rifle can tear you down at medium range, but at close range, it's impossible to shoot. Then with the fact that most weapons on a map are close to mild range weapons, it only makes sense to force a close combat situation.
Mm-hmm. Not if you BXR.
Oh.
But yeah, Beaver Creek, you definitely want it. Depending on the game type, though.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't, but you know, I mean, if you're losing in Team Slayer, you have no choice but to try to, you know, do some kind of long range battle there. Mm-hmm. But by then, if you're losing, chances are they have rocket launcher and sniper, so you're screwed.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Well, I'm going to get through CTF Assault, and we'll head on to the next one and then finish this off here so we can get on to the RVB interview. The two cheat says, I may not be an expert, but I usually try to take a bomb up on top of the base so I can get the drop on my enemies and hopefully arm the bomb. Or if I'm playing CTF, jump in, grab the flag, and throw it to someone who's waiting on top. Then they grab it, use the teleporter, throw it to someone on top of your base, and they take it and score. Be careful, though, because jumping on top of the base will reveal your location on radar, if only for a brief moment. A great defense involves keeping a few guys on top to guard the windows and the teleporter and the entrance ramps and power weapons. It's definitely good. Spam is good. If you see someone arming the bomb or about to take the flag, get on top of your base and near the back window. Spam that sucker with a few grenades, and you should be safe. Definitely, man. The top of the base is kind of underrated for people at a little bit lower levels because it's really powerful when using that area for either CTF or assault. So,
you know what I noticed? One thing about CTF and Beaver Creek, it's pretty much useless to stay inside trying to guard the flag because you're going to die because there's so many different ways that can come in. So definitely staying on top is the best strategy because you can still run after the flag carrier and, you know, get them. You know, all you got to do is jump from the top and, you know, run after them or whatever.
Yeah. But, I mean, isn't there the chance they could sneak around and use a teleporter and they're gone?
No, not if you're up top because, I mean, it's either he's only going two ways. He's either going through the front of the base or through the teleporter. So, I mean, if you got, like, two guys up, one can go to the front and the back.
Oh, okay, I got you. Multiple people.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you got to guard it.
Yeah, dude.
Do it.
Makes sense.
Okay. Who's the next?
The overshoot.
Oh, well, Overshield can come in handy. I was trying to skip ahead, but that's okay. Overshield can come in real handy if you want to sneak in through the top of your opponent's base and arm the bomb or jack the flag or something. Definitely. A lot of people forget about the Overshield, and I think we might have mentioned that before on this map. I mean, it can come in real handy, you know, unless they just realize that they can use either rockets or a plasma pistol to take that out. So keep that in mind, especially when you spawn near there. Obviously, that's the biggest thing, is like, I think they put a spawn point right next to that for a reason. So you can, like, get a quick advantage and be able to grab the overshield and prevent people from, you know, taking you out right in the middle of the map.
Forget about overshield. It's amazing how people can forget about it.
Yeah.
Forget about it. I'll run right. That's one of the first things. If I see a clearance, I just run right at it.
Yeah, totally. Well, moving on.
Right. I'm going to go to G. Lewis. He's, okay, G. Nubbus, he says, in flag games, the general strat is to either run the flag up the middle as fast as possible or do a quick toss to the person on top of the base, making the sniper rifle the primary weapon on this map. Even though this is very close quarters at times, it's imperative to hold the sniper rifle, to hold the sniper so that you'll be able to see the enemies from all points of them on the map. Yeah, the whole point of, I mean, one strategy is even if you're not good with the Halo, I mean, even if you're not good with the sniper rifle, don't let the enemy take it. You know, just hold on to it.
Because they're probably better, huh?
Even if it's not of bullets.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's out of bullets, I like to hold on to it until I die, which is a lot. So.
All right. Am I reading the next one?
Yeah.
All right.
You got to put an accent to it.
So I was going to say, it looks like G. Lewis has another one, Oddball and Juggernaut, right?
Say that again?
It looks like G. Lewis has another one in Oddball and Juggernaut, right?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, yeah. Should we read that one?
Go for it.
All right. Okay. G. Lewis says, I'm an oddball and juggernaut.
So, Liquid Life,
maybe you should read that one.
All right.
It sounds like when you're trying to tell your wife something. So, honey, the laundry is getting dry now, isn't it?
I just want to let you know that, yeah.
We're not doing laundry.
Well, yeah, sure is.
But see, that doesn't work with every wife, though.
No, it doesn't, dude. No. You're like, oh,
no,
God.
No. I appreciate my nice, smooth, lump-free face, so, you know. Anyways, Mr. G. Lewis says, oddball, if you're playing a team game on Beaver Creek, remember to keep moving around, especially with your teammates. Since there are so many different ways to get to each part of the map, it's better to keep moving around in random areas. The only good hiding point would be a teleporter, but watch out, people popping through it with a sticky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. And that corner back there is actually kind of good, too, right behind the base in the corner. In the, yeah. The smaller corner, because you can kind of guard that from different directions. So, that's
about. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's our tip show. And now for something completely different, moving on to an interview we had with Matt from Red vs. Blue, the guy who plays Sarge and other characters on Red vs. Blue.
Nice.
So, this is a good one. Here's how it went down. Well, hey, everybody. It's Fumo Jive from Podtacular. I'm here with Matt from Red vs. Blue. What's up, Matt?
What's up, yo?
Hey, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm good looking. currently seeking the opposite sex. No. My name's Matt, and I work on Red vs. Blue and some of the other silly shows we do here at Rooster Teeth.
Cool. We had a question from Oompa Loompa, who's a guy at Podtacular, and he was saying, is making Red vs. Blue your job, or do you have something else you do as well, or what?
It's my job. Rooster Teeth is my job. Here at Rooster Teeth, 23 hours a day.
Wow.
And the last hour I spend finding barbecue places to defile.
All right. Well,
we're in Texas.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains
it. So that's what you do here.
Okay. Well, for those who aren't really into the series, what is Red vs. Blue? What's it about?
You lost me at the question.
Oh, for those that aren't really into the series, what is Red vs. Blue?
That was the part that lost me right there.
Oh. Well, myself, I don't watch a lot of Machinima. I know a lot of those people that are the same. I know about it, but I don't know, like, you know, all the details about, I just know the basics,
I'm
like it's
kidding.
A comedy show. Okay.
I'm just kidding. What Red vs. Blue is it's Machinima. For those who don't know what Machinima is, it is using a video game or a video game engine to, I hate talking with these headphones on. Using a video game or a video game engine to, create little narratives, little short films. Red vs. Blue is done with the video game Halo, and we basically film action inside of Halo, and then we add goofy dialogue on top of it, and a little storyline, and it becomes it's a fun little treat for everybody.
Nice.
Fun little video treat. So we got a bunch of ridiculous characters and crazy stories and stuff like that, and it's just a lot of fun.
Cool. So you guys have gotten, like, a lot of notoriety way beyond the realm of Halo fans, right?
Halo fans have been very kind to us, and we greatly appreciate that. And we've been having a lot of fun. It's been fun to be a part of that community.
Sweet. So how did Red vs. Blue get started?
Bernie and Jeff and Gus were working on a website called Drunk Gamers.
Hell yeah.
And basically, that website was devoted to getting drunk and playing video games and writing stupid reviews of the video games while drunk. And they were doing a really bad job, and Bernie decided it might be funny to try to spike the Halo section or the Xbox section that he was working on by doing some little videos, and the videos quickly evolved into Red vs. Blue.
Nice. Wow, so it all started with the drunken gamers.
Yeah, and we're still drunk and playing video games.
That explains it, alright. Well, let's see. Hezekiah wrote in saying that it's been said many times on the Rooster Teeth forums that you're the best in the group when it comes to improvising your lines. Do you have any improv experience growing up, or was it more just something that came naturally to you?
You know what? I'm having trouble thinking of an answer. Give me a second to improv an answer. Hold on. No, nobody had any experience Nobody has any talent either. So I think I just kind of like barely sneak over the very low, low bar we've set.
Just lots of beer, right?
Just lots of beer.
Well, Chemo 23 and Renegade N ask, how much time goes into creating each episode?
It depends on whether or not we decide to make a good episode. If we make a good one, a lot. If we make a bad one, then like, you know, 20 minutes.
Do you ever decide to make a bad one?
No, actually, you have to ask, check in the forums. No, basically, I think it takes us about a week to make one. I mean, they vary pretty wildly because, you know, we put out, I think our longest episode we ever made was like 17 and a half minutes. And that was episode 50, which was our big, like, which was a big blowout episode, you know? But the usual episode is like 4 to 4.5 minutes, and that takes about a week to put together.
Okay. That's cool. How do you come up with the storylines and jokes for the show?
They're all based on Iranian kids' books.
What?
No. The storylines, we just, you know, like some of the stuff.
I thought those sounded familiar, man. Wow.
Some of the stuff just started as you know, stuff that we would talk about or jokes, like the one of the early conversations in Red versus Blue is, you know, why do they call it a warthog, referring to the Jeep, and that was just something that came out of actually Gus and Bernie, I think it was, just having an actual conversation about that in real life, and it was like, that would be funny, you know, it was kind of the thing that's like, the conversation's sort of funny, but it would be a lot funnier if animated characters were having it.
Yeah.
So, that's basically what we do.
Sweet. Let's see. Got Renegade N again, who asks, do you have a favorite season, favorite episode, or favorite character? That's like three in one, but whatever.
Favorite episode, favorite character, favorite season. Gosh, I don't know. I usually tend to like, my favorite is like the last one we did, or whatever we're working on now, just because you kind of get into it as you're doing it. We just finished this special, like I say finished, we haven't finished releasing them, but we've just finished creating this special series, like a little mini-series, Red vs. Blue mini-series called Bad Mind for Xbox Live Marketplace.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun to do because it was a really different tone than the usual Red versus Blue stuff. It was a little more dry, a little more acerbic humor, where the Red versus Blue is, you know, a little broader. I mean, hopefully very funny, of course, but we were just trying to do something different, a little more action-oriented and that kind of thing.
Sweet.
So that was a lot of fun because it was a nice change of pace. In general, favorites, I try not to pick favorites. I play a few different characters, so I would probably have to say any of the characters I play.
Cool. So you said you just finished that series for Xbox Live Marketplace?
Well, yeah, we just finished making it. They haven't finished releasing it yet. I think on Xbox Live Marketplace, they're up to episode number three.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on our site, we just released number two for sponsors yesterday.
Cool.
So they'll be coming out every week.
Are there plans for more series like that on Xbox Live?
More kind of mini series kind of things?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know we're kind of like waiting and seeing what the reaction to this first one is. So far, it's been really positive.
Awesome.
Also depends on just how much time we have, and we also during the break after season four, we upgraded everything to go into HD, and we wanted to have a cool way to present HD footage, and you can do that pretty successfully with, you know, with an Xbox 360, and it's a lot harder for a lot of people to play back HD footage on their computer. So,
right.
That was one reason for doing the series.
Awesome. You know, a couple other people asked too. It's not on here, but they asked how the transition was between Halo and Halo 2, as far as like the different movements, the different quirks of being able to hold your gun down, things like that. How was that?
It was kind of difficult. I mean, I'm not saying like it's still just playing a video game, so it's not really like that hard.
Yeah.
But it was difficult in that there are definitely quirks about Halo 2 that make it better for gameplay that aren't necessarily better for machinima, or at least our style of machinima, things that we've grown accustomed to with the first Halo. You know, just the way the characters orient themselves on screen, mm-hmm. and things like that. So that took some getting used to, just in terms of like lining characters up, and I mean, really simple stuff, you know, but it's stuff that's boring to talk about, but if you're in the process of making it, you want to like yank the controller out and throw it out the window, you know? but then, you know, Bungie was really cool to everyone in the Halo Machinima community, and they put back into Halo 2 what was essentially a bug in Halo, the first version, Halo 1, where if you look down, with the character looked at tilt the head down, you know, or tilt the gun down at the very last minute, the gun would stay down, but the head would come back up, so you can have a conversation with the gun pointing down. You don't have to have this aggressive, you know, everybody's pointing their guns at each other all the time kind of look.
Right.
And that was actually a bug in Halo, and then because they saw that everyone in the Halo community was enjoying making machinima with the game, they actually put. I assume you guys could hear that. Gus decided the best time to shred some paper would be during this interview.
Yeah, perfect timing, yeah.
Anyway. so they actually put that bug, so to speak, it's actually a feature now, back into Halo 2.
Nice.
In an easily accessible way for everybody.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Let's see here. One person, UPSman23, asked, how come you usually use the actual
UPS
guns?
UPSman23.
Yeah. Oh, man, we're gamer tags. But he said, how come you usually don't use the actual gun sounds from the Halo weapons and turrets?
It just depends. And we do actually use the real gun sounds a lot, but sometimes it's just easier to capture the sounds later and cut them back in. And sometimes we like want to beef them up or make them sound slightly different just to match the mood of the scene.
Okay.
It really depends.
Cool. He also asked, how much input do the fans have in the series?
That's a tough question to answer. I mean, in terms of us making the series, I mean, you know, if we hadn't had the response to season one that we had, we wouldn't still be making it, probably, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone's continued support, you know, and interest is really what drives the show. So the fans are responsible for it existing, you know, in that sense.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
A bunch of people asked this. Shizno and Immortal 3 asked, do you plan on podcasting Red vs. Blue?
Not at this time.
Okay. All right, so that's that. The Risen asked, how similar are the characters' personalities to the actors in real life?
How similar are the characters' personalities? Well, Jason plays Tucker, and he is a big-time womanizer, I have to say. He was slapping some bitches earlier today, and it was just vicious. No. How similar are the characters? You know, not very similar. Gus plays Simmons and I play Sarge, and you know, Gus is always kissing my ass in real life, so that's kind of similar. But I wonder if he heard that. He's gonna come back in here and
it's like throwing pencils at you back there.
He's gonna come back and shred some more paper in a second.
Yeah, really.
I mean. Not terribly similar. Joel's an idiot. He plays Caboose, but that's about it.
Hmm. Oh, cool.
Oh, Tex. Actually, probably the most similar to, you know, the character now is Kathleen, who plays Tex, because she's been working out, and she's like more pumped than like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator 2.
Nice.
I think she actually has a metal endoskeleton at this point.
Sweet cybernetic neuroprocessor.
Yeah.
So, Madame or something like that asks, do you think Halo 3 will include any features to give machinima makers more flexibility or even help them in the process?
I have no idea. I would guess that they might do some, you know, give some kind of nod to the Halo Machinima community, just because they've been so accommodating with the, you know, putting that bug/feature in that I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
You know, Bungie's just a really great company, and they're really involved with the fans, and you know, so if it were possible, I'm sure they would try to, because they really have been great about supporting their community.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, awesome, man. Appreciate you being on the show. Thanks a lot. And yeah, I guess see you online maybe.
Yeah, hey, thanks a lot, and thanks to everybody listening.
Well, thanks again, Matt, and big thanks to Laird SB for setting that up. Appreciate it, dude. We have lots of interviews lined up for future shows, so definitely look forward to more of those. And if you're up there in the Halo community or know someone who is and want some free promotion, email us at podtacular@gmail.com, and we'll see if we can't set that up. So,
yeah, absolutely. And tune in next week for the Customs and Call-In show, where we cover the top few customs people sent in, playback listener voicemails for the month, and read back some tales from the foxhole that people sent in.
Hey, Liquilife, we got a tip next.
Hey, Liquilife.
Hey, right. The laundry's dry.
Okay, now are we doing shout-outs now?
No. Send in your tips to on the wrap-up
section. Oh, here we go.
Section, there's this thing called the show notes that...
all right. Send in your tips, etc. to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going. We ask for new stuff for the show every week, so check it out at podtacular.com. We have some rockin' forums there, too.
Yes, we do. Right. Very active.
Yeah,
I'll even read the next one to make up for my dirty laundry.
Go for it.
And make sure that you call our listener voicemail and write this number down. And that number for this voicemail is 206-888-HALO.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah, really, that's 206-888-HALO. Shout-outs to Chevelle65, creator of Halo News at Podtacular, which is a kind of a Machinima show. That's on Podtacular. Yeah. It's kind of a comedy deal. It's funny. Really funny, dude.
Voltron,
it's awesome.
Voltron was funny.
Dude, that was great, man. All of them were funny so far, like, man. I can't wait for the next one.
I'm like a huge Halo, I mean, Voltron geek.
Yeah.
Man, that was funny, dude.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, you guys got to see that, man. It's on podtacular.com, and we're trying to give it a more prominent place as well on that. But it's in the news if you just kind of go through the pages on the front page on there, so check it out.
Loved by good, feared by evil.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Also, The Two Cheat, who rewrote our Wikipedia article. Thanks for doing that, man. Appreciate it.
Nice. Awesome.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks to Cyclonic for editing the audio. Like always, does a great job. And thanks to Quality Jeffridge for doing the editing last week. Yeah, he did it pretty quick.
Yeah, man.
And don't forget to check out his weekly porridge.
Yeah. That's our comic on podtacular.com. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do a few cameos here and there.
Well,
my leg and foot, you know. With them little hairs all over the place.
You put it all.
I'm going to stomp you.
Well, until next time, guys, I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JV Bizzlebot.
And this is Liquilife.
Keep on fragging trucks.
Yeah.
Keep on babamming peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
That's right, and don't leave the peanut butter at home.
Oh, and remember to remove the laundry.
yes.
Liquilife.
The laundry's done. Yeah, sure.
Real quick, do you know the lyrics to the Humpty song? Because I know you're old school, just like me.
yeah, but... Oh, you caught me off guard, man. You told me.
Oh!
Stop, it was Humpty.
All right, guys.
Thanks for having me on, by the way.
Yeah, I appreciate it, dude. So that's that. Yay, good show.
There's only one thing left to say. Dun, 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 dun.